As I began to prepare for Mother's Day this year, the Lord struck a very interesting chord in my heart. He didn't bring me to one text of Scripture, but He brought me to one character in the Scriptures, one person in the Scriptures that I believe God wants us to learn from. And she is perhaps the most well-known mother in history. And that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to do a character study from the life of Mary, and learn some vital lessons that I think will help every single one of us here today. Now, early on in the Scriptures, one of the things we read about Mary is that God said that she was highly favored. And she was highly favored because she was the one that God chose to be His own mother. Now, that's saying something. God saw in Mary some qualities He could use to mother His own son. Over 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophecy was given in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. A virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which the New Testament makes known to us, it means God with us. And so from the very beginning, God had Mary in mind to be the mother of Jesus. And the Bible says in Galatians 4 and verses 4 and 5 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Just think about this with me. As our Creator, Jesus was quite literally the only person in history who ever got to choose His mom. And He chose Mary. God uniquely equipped Mary to be the mother that would bring Jesus into the world. It was a special relationship that they shared together. Now, here's a fact. You did not choose your own mother. But here's what I say to you this morning. God made the best choice for you when He gave you the mother that you have. The same God that chose Mary for Jesus chose your mom for you. And He did it for a reason. And it's a beautiful thing to consider. And so from the life of Mary, we discover 12 helpful lessons about motherhood. Now, they say a number like 12, some of you are like, oh boy, I know how long he takes on 3 points, okay? Well, we're going to be dismissed about 2 p.m. this afternoon, okay? Now, I'll be timely with this today. I know it's Mother's Day, and many of you have special plans for this afternoon. We'll get as far as we can. I just want to learn some lessons from the life of this dear woman in the Scripture. And I believe as we look at these lessons, all of you who are moms can learn something about how to be a better mom. And all of you that have moms, which is all of you, by the way, I think you can learn how to better appreciate the moms that God blessed you with. And so let's look at these lessons from the Scriptures together. And before we do, let's pray. Father, we come before You and thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word. I pray now that You'd still our hearts, open our minds, and Lord, work in our hearts with the truth that we will uncover from the life of this wonderful woman in the Scripture. And I pray it would encourage the heart of everyone that's in the room. I pray that You'd use this as You have planned to, Lord, as we know Your Word will not return void. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for sake of time, much of the Scripture, we're going to go to a lot of places in the Scripture today, and I have the references written in your outlines. We will not read all of these stories. We do not have time to actually read all the stories, but most of these stories, I'm just going to tell a little bit about the life of Mary for you as we look at these 12 lessons from Mary's life. We've just about covered every passage of Scripture that talks about Mary by the time we'll end our time together here today. The first lesson we learned from the life of Mary is this. I want you to notice the call to motherhood. The call to motherhood. And in Luke chapter 1, we hear the story of when the angelic messenger came and literally called Mary to be a mom. In a miraculous manner. She couldn't believe that she was going to have a child because she was not yet married and she'd not yet ever been with a man. But God revealed to Mary that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and place a child in her womb, miraculously so, the only virgin birth to ever take place. And that was the conception of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this was fantastic news. This was unbelievable news. This was intimidating news for Mary, no doubt. But after this angel announced to Mary this incredible thing that God wanted to do in her life, I want you to notice Mary's response in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 38. It'd help if I was there too. But Luke chapter 1 and verse number 38, it says this. It says, this is what Mary said. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." And she said, let's read this out loud together. "Be it unto me according to thy word." What Mary did in response to the Lord giving her this opportunity to have a child is that she answered God's call. When God called her to be the mother of this miraculous child, even though it seemed so impossible in her mind, and though she felt so unworthy, there is no doubt about that fact, to bring God's own son into the world, she simply trusted God and surrendered to do what God had called her to do. I want you to listen to me this morning. God chooses the type of mom who will answer the call to raise a child for him. That's the type of mom God chooses. That's the type of mom that God wants to use. And like Mary, many of you may not feel worthy of the children that God has given to you. You may feel it is impossible many times to raise them the way that God is calling you to. But really, God doesn't need your worthiness. All he needs is your willingness to do what he's called you to do. Because as the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And if God isn't in it, then it isn't going to work out anyways. God doesn't need you to do what only he can do. All he needs is a willing vessel who would say, answer the call and say, yes, Lord, I would be willing to raise a child for you. And by the way, if you have had a mom who in her own way tried to teach you right, tried to raise you as best as she knew how in the right way, you ought to be grateful for that today. The virtuous woman, the Bible says, her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her in Proverbs 31. The first truth we see is the call to motherhood. The second truth I want you to see is the celebration of motherhood. The celebration of motherhood. Now we're staying in Luke chapter 1. As the story of Mary's life continues, we find that Mary eventually made her way to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she went to Elizabeth's house, she didn't feel like she could tell anybody else the incredible news that she was pregnant because she hadn't been married yet. And this pregnancy was quite literally the only one of its kind in history. God had placed a child within her womb, miraculously so. And you can imagine the circumstance she found herself in. So she went to share this incredible news with her cousin Elizabeth. And I love the story because when she went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, who would be the last prophet from the Old Testament. And the Bible literally says that when Mary approached Elizabeth, they both were pregnant. The Bible says that the baby leaped inside Elizabeth's womb for joy. She was so excited. And Mary herself, when she was finally able to talk out loud about this incredible miracle that God had blessed her with, a child in her womb, I want you to notice what she said in verse number 46 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, "And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Here we have Mary. As a mom, she rejoiced in the privilege that God had given her for bearing a child into this world. Listen, she did not view motherhood as a burden, but she looked at it as a blessing and perhaps the greatest blessing of her life. And I want you to listen to me. The type of mom that God chooses is a mom who rejoices in the privilege of being able to have children, being able to bear children into this world. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are not a burden. Children are a blessing. And the type of mom that God wants to use will view motherhood as one of the greatest privileges of her life. But the sad reality is that we live in a day and time where motherhood in general is viewed as a burden. In a recent survey I read about this past week, it was revealed that only 45% of U.S. women today even want to have children. 45% want to have children. The reason they gave for not wanting to have children include these types of things: how expensive it is to have children, how much it would disrupt their lives, wanting to focus on other things, and the list goes on and on down the line. And today, for many people, we live in a society, and I say this hesitantly and carefully, and I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings this morning, but understand that if you don't want to be a mom, you can just as easily walk down the street and murder your child in your womb by way of abortion. If you don't want to raise your child, you can just as soon pay someone else to do it for you while you're off busy doing the things that you want to do. Motherhood is under attack in the society we live in today. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to bow down to culture and agree with how the world says you're supposed to do it, because the Bible's still very clear about how this thing is supposed to go. The type of mom that God wants to choose to use is a mom who does not view her motherhood as a burden that takes her away from the things she should be doing with her life, but as a blessing and one of the greatest privileges that she's ever possessed. I thank God that I have a mom like that. She had a good career. And she chose, and this is what God led her to do. I'm not saying having a career is wrong for a mom to have. Don't mistake what I'm saying. But I'm thankful that my mom was led of God and she listened. She set aside her career because she believed that her greatest calling in life was to raise us kids. And that's exactly what she did. And I am the benefactor of that. And I thank God for such a mom. And if you had such a mom, you ought to thank her too. Stay-at-home mom is not an inferior female in society. She is a woman answering the call of God just as much as any other woman may be in another career field. It's important we understand that. The celebration of motherhood. The third lesson I want you to see is the crises of motherhood. The crises of motherhood. Now, keep your place there marked in Luke because we're coming back, but jump back with me to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter number 1. Some of you are going to get a little more familiar with your Bible this morning, okay? Matthew chapter number 1, as we continue on learning from the life of Mary, we find that after Mary found out she was pregnant, she went away for several months to her cousin Elizabeth's house, but eventually she had to come back, and when she came back, she had to share some very alarming news to her fiancé. I'm pregnant. Now that's very alarming, because he knew he had nothing to do with it. And here's Mary, she comes back, and she has to trust God in telling Joseph about this miracle that had happened, that God would work in Joseph's heart and soften him to believe the word of the Lord, or that if Joseph chose to walk away, that God would take care of her and help her provide for this child. You can see the crises that Mary faced in having to make this decision. And in verse number 18 of Matthew 1, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was found espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." He thought about separating from her. Now, many of you have heard the Christmas story before. Thankfully, an angel appeared to Joseph, and Joseph submitted to the call of God just like Mary did. They dedicated themselves to raise this child for the Lord. And though this was not his blood-born child, Joseph committed to stay in the home and to answer the call of God and do what God had called him to do. Listen to me. God, the type of mom that God chooses to use, is willing to trust him with the risks of motherhood. And there are crises that come. There are risks that come in the process of becoming a mother. Of course, first on the list would be the risk of bearing a child into this world himself. And it's a dangerous thing, and many women have lost their lives just facing the dangers of birthing a child into the world. But beyond that, in a cultural sense, in America today, the risks of a father walking away are very high. In fact, the last U.S. census that was taken in 2023 revealed that almost 20 million kids today live without a dad in their home. There's one out of every four homes, no dad. And my point is, if you go about having kids God's way, well, let me just say this as a sidebar. If you go about having kids God's way, that risk does reduce significantly. All right? In other words, if you get married first, you get on the same page with how to raise kids, the risk of having a separated home goes down significantly. But I have to say this, because in the society we live, it's normal not to get married before you have children. That is not normal scripturally. If you go outside of God's boundaries, then you can expect the consequences for making that choice. I do not chastise you if that is your current situation, but understand there are consequences for that. But as a general rule, There is a majority, not a majority, but there are a lot of men today who are walking out on their families, walking out on their responsibilities to care for the people that they have brought into this world. But what I would say to you moms this morning is you can't control what others do, but what you can control is what you do. And like Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will, what, church? Serve the Lord. You can make that choice in your home. And so we see the crises of motherhood. A fourth truth I see is the commencement of motherhood. The commencement of motherhood. Now jump back over to Luke with me. Luke chapter number 2. And your fingers are going to get exercised today. We normally stay in one text, but just doing a character study from the life of Mary. Luke chapter number 2. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we see the fateful moment when Mary actually brought her first child into this world. We often refer to this as the Christmas story, all right? And here we are in May, and I'm already preaching about Christmas for you, okay? But it is the gospel, is when Jesus entered into this world. And in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Listen, Mary was a mom who was courageous enough to bring a child into this world, even though her circumstances were anything from ideal. She had her baby in a barn, okay? Now I have some, I could tell some stories this morning, but I don't have time. But some of you have some very interesting stories about how your children were born too. But I don't think anyone I know of has had their children in a barn, okay? And Mary could have given all kinds of excuses about it's not the right time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough social standing. She could have given all kinds of excuses about the timing of when God led her to bring this child into the world. But she just simply submitted to bring the child into the world when God told her to do so. And the kind of mom that God chooses is willing to brave the hardships of bringing a child into this world when God calls you to have children. Now, here's a sidebar for you. God will not call you to have children before you're married. Amen. 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 That's good preacher there, preacher. It's not popular, but I have to keep saying it because we have a struggle with this in our society today. When you do come together in marriage, God calls couples, a man and a woman, to come together to bring children into this world. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, I get a lot of hard time from a lot of people about having 5 kids, okay? And the number one statement I get when I tell them I have 5 kids, they said, "Do you know how that works?" Yeah, I think I figured it out, okay? But the Bible tells us to be fruitful and multiply. And there's nothing wrong with having kids. You have as many kids as God leads you to have. And that is a blessed thing. And God is the one who told a man and a woman to come together to bring children into this world. But you know, the truth is there's never a perfect time to have kids. I've always thought it was funny that it is exactly the time of life when we are probably the least prepared or qualified to bring kids into this world, that God calls us to bring kids into the world. Like, why don't we start having kids when we're 60 and we've got some things figured out? I think he allows us to have kids when we're young because we still have energy then, okay? And we can make all our mistakes, okay? But it is interesting to me, and a lot of people today, in fact, the average age of people having kids today is nearing 30 years old and almost a decade more than what it used to be in years gone by. And there are many, many people who put off having kids or choose to never have kids because it never seems to be the right time. But that is one of the big privileges and purposes of marriage, is bringing children into this world. And in a world that is quickly going to hell in a handbasket, we need more godly parents to bring kids into this world and teach them the ways of the Lord. Thank God Mary was a mother who was willing to answer that call. So we see the commencement of motherhood. Number 5, I want you to notice with me the contemplation of motherhood. The contemplation. Now, because of the brevity of time that we have here today, I'll just summarize this. In Luke chapter 2, as the story of Jesus' birth continues, we understand that Mary, after bearing this child into the world, the first 2 hospital visits that she had there, there's no hospital, but you understand what I mean, were from some shepherds on a hillside. They came to see the child Jesus. And then sometime later, probably not the same night, but sometime later, there were some wise men who came and to worship Jesus. And what I want you to see in Luke chapter number 2, look down at verse number 20 with me. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Verse 20, the Bible says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All Mary could do as she looked at this little child that God had just allowed her to bring into the world was wonder and imagine at how God was going to use this child to fulfill his great purposes. And that's one of the fascinating things to me about the type of mom that God chooses to use. She is a mom who sees the potential in her children. She sees the potential in her children. It seems to actually be a universal quality of mothers that they can see good in their kids even when others can't, right? They get up and sing a song, and the mom's sitting there crying, saying, that was so beautiful, and the rest of the people are like, that was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life, right? Reminds me of the story I heard about a lady. She was sick, and her little daughter was bound and determined to take care of her mom. And so she had seen her mom take care of dad when he was sick before, and she wanted to try to mimic some of those things. And one of the things she wanted to do was to make her mom some hot tea. So she went into the kitchen and she began to bang around some pots and pans, and she finally got some hot water into a cup, warmed it up, put the tea bags in, strained it, and stirred it around, put it on a saucer, and brought it to her mom. And she came in, tea spilling all over the place, and handed it to her mom. And even though she was sick, the mom's heart was touched. And she said, that is wonderful. I didn't know that you could make tea. And as she began to sip this tea, the daughter proceeded to explain just how she had made the tea. There you go. There's your sign right there. And as she's sipping the tea, she explained how she got the hot water, put it in the cup, got the tea bags, and began to strain them. And she said, Mama, I couldn't find your strainer, so I used the fly swatter. And her mom gasped. And she said, no, don't worry, Mommy. I didn't use the new one. I used the old one. But you know what? The mom looks at that and her heart's still touched. They have this universal capacity to be able to see the best in their children, see the potential for how God could use them. Reminds me of what Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and verse 3. He says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Boy, a mom God uses is a mom who looks at those little children and all their their imperfections and can still see someone that God wants to use for his glory. Here's the sixth truth I want you to write down. I want you to notice the consecration of motherhood. The consecration of motherhood. As the story continues in Luke chapter 2, if you look down at verse number 21 with me, we'll find here that the Bible says, and we'll skip 21, we'll read verse 22. It says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they, Mary and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to do what? Present him to the Lord. Mary was a mom who dedicated herself to raise her children for the Lord. Unless you think that it's not valid, because after all, her child was the perfect Son of God, right? He was going to live for God no matter what. Understand that Mary went on to conceive four other children with her husband Joseph after they got married. I'm sorry, more than four boys and at least two girls they went on to have. And out of those children, every one of them grew up to become faithful to the Lord and serve the Lord's church. One of them became the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Another one of them was a faithful member of the church and an evangelist and wrote the book of Jude, the second to last book of the Bible. These are the children of Mary, who was also the mother of Jesus. Here was a mom who dedicated herself to raise her children for the Lord. And let me just suffice it to say that the type of mom God chooses to use is a mom who is willing to understand that those kids are not hers. Those kids are God's. And she needs to raise them for the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will what? Not depart from it. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is what God has called us to do as parents. And I love the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. She said, for this child I prayed, And the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. If you are a mom here today, or a dad, you've never intentionally taken the time to dedicate your kids to the Lord, it's an important moment in your life. Will you say, these kids aren't mine, these kids are God's? By the way, if they're adults, it's not too late. You can still dedicate yourself to live every waking moment that you have for the rest of your days to point your kids to the Lord, to give them to the Lord. We see the consecration of the type of mom God chooses. Number 7, we see the concern in motherhood. The concern in motherhood. Now, as the story of Mary continues, for sake of time, we won't turn back there right now, but in Matthew chapter number 2, we find that after Jesus was born, immediately Satan began to try to kill him. And he used the government official of that time to try to hunt the child Jesus down and kill him. And so they ended up having to flee to Egypt to escape that threat of punishment. The point I want to make about when it comes to Mary's motherhood is from the very moment that child was born, she adopted a concern in her heart that she had never known before. And I always think this is comical with brand new moms, right? Your first baby, you bring him to church, you keep him in the car seat. I mean, you're literally punching people in the face if they get too close, okay? Like, stay away, this is my child. We've had 5. I will say that does progressively change over time, okay? But it is interesting. You know, it's true for all of your kids. The moment you bring a child into this world, you have a concern that is born with that child. And no matter where they go, no matter what they do, your heart is always concerned about them. And the difficulty is, as they grow and develop, the difficulty is you often allow that concern to become a sinful worry. And there are a lot of moms who struggle with worry. You know, God chose to use Mary because even though she had that concern for her children, she was willing to turn that concern into trust that God was going to take care of them. And that is the prescription for you too, dear mother, today. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, to be careful or worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The old preacher put it this way. You ought to learn to turn every care into a prayer. Every care into a prayer. And there are many stories I could tell you about moms who pray for their children and give their children to the Lord and what a difference it makes in their life. The time is failing us here, but I'll give you this quote from Theodore Roosevelt, one of our presidents. He said, praying mothers are America's greatest asset. And I believe that to be true. You can always pray for your children. Continually give those concerns and burdens to the Lord on behalf of your children. And they never stop coming, do they? No matter how old they get, no matter how far they go, you always bear that concern in your heart for your children. And that's what a godly mom does. She gives those concerns to the Lord continually. We see the concern in motherhood. I must hasten. Number 8, I want you to see the conflict in motherhood. The conflict in motherhood. Now, at the end of Luke chapter 2, there's a story about the life of Mary. It was very interesting. Jesus is 12 years old at this point. And at 12 years old, they go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And while they're there celebrating the Passover, when they begin to make the journey home, Jesus was with some of his cousins, and they thought he was with some of the family as they're making the journey back. And they get a whole day into their journey and realize they've just lost the Son of God. They were tasked to take care of him, and he's nowhere to be found. All right? Sorry, God. Can you imagine what's going on in their minds? They rush back to Jerusalem. They're looking all over the place for him. When they finally find him, he's in the temple, and he's teaching the teachers at 12 years old. He's discussing theology with the greatest minds of that time. And as they see Jesus there, Mary tries to chastise him, but Jesus makes very clear that God had a purpose for his life. And in verse number 49, Jesus says, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And as Mary encountered this moment in her life, as Jesus, from the Jewish scale, was going from childhood into adulthood, which took place at 12 years old in that culture, as Jesus goes through this transition, Mary faces one of the struggles that every mom has to face, and that is the struggle of letting go. When it comes time to let them go fulfill God's purpose for their life. Well, let me just suffice it to say that the type of mom that God chooses is willing to let her kids go instead of holding on to them their whole life long. You do not help your kids by holding on. You help your kids by being willing to let them go fulfill the purpose that God has for them. Now, we live in a society where 20% of adults in the U.S. between the ages of 18 and 34 still live in their home, their parents' home. And there are reasons for that. The economy that we live in today is not easy. But I would venture to say that many of them are doing that because perhaps they have some parents who are holding on too tight. I don't think they're going to be happy with me after this message today, Brother John. But I'm telling you, you're not helping them by holding on to them and keeping them from God's purpose for their life. How you can help them is to stir up your nest and kick them out. You go do what God made you to do. Now, that's kind of old school, but it's true nonetheless. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, let's look at the flip side of this. Number 9, we see the confidence of motherhood. The confidence of motherhood. We don't have time to go there, but in John chapter number 2, this is just about 18 years after the circumstance I just described to you. We jump way ahead, 18 years later. In Luke 2, we see Mary struggling to let go of Jesus. But in John chapter 2, we see the exact opposite thing happen. Jesus thinks he's not ready to start his public ministry, and he goes to a wedding. He's invited to a wedding, and they run out of wine. You know the story, right? And they come and bring the need. And it's very interesting. Mary talks to the people, and they says, well, Jesus will help you. And Jesus says, my time's not come for me to do this yet. And then Mary just says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And there's Jesus now. He's supposed to solve the problem, right? And what we see in that is a mother who is willing to push her children to fulfill the purpose that God has for them. That's what I want to pull out of that, okay? That's what we see from Mary's example in John chapter number 2. And so the mom that God chooses to use will be a mom who challenges her kids to go and do what God created them to do. Now, I will say, if you do not encourage your kids to live for God, to fulfill God's purpose for their life, you will live to regret it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, that a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. God created every person in this world on purpose, with purpose, and the only way they can find the fulfillment that they should have in their life is in fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. So the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verses 24 and 25, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Many times I've talked to my mom, and she's told me the same thing over and over again. She says, I miss you every single day. I wish I could be there with you every single day. I often cry. But she said, they're tears of joy because I am so glad that you are where God wants you to be. And I couldn't be happier. You can hold them to yourself and try to keep them all together, or you can send them out to fulfill God's purpose for their life. And I'll tell you, you'll like the latter more than the former. Because that's the best place for them to be, even if it's not right next door to you necessarily. The confidence of motherhood. We're out of time, and I said I would behave with this here today, but I'll just mention these last ones. The consternation in motherhood. The consternation in motherhood. As Jesus grew and developed, she had to learn to share Jesus with everybody else. And he was quite a busy person. And as your kids grow and develop and go into their adult years, you're going to have to learn to value the eternal over the temporal when it comes to your kids. Learn how to share your kids with a new family. Learn how to share your kids with others who are in need of their work and of their insight. But I'll say this, listen, So long as your parents live, as children, you should never neglect to show them the honor and gratitude that they deserve. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and mother. Proverbs 23:22 says, despise not thy mother when she is old. And that's such an important thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you feel like you've been estranged from your kids or estranged from your parents. You ought to take time to call your parents. You ought to take time to call your mom. Tell you love her. Tell her that you appreciate her. And I got to tell this story. Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, during the Civil War, he called one of his army surgeons to the White House. And this guy thought he was going to get some kind of honor, some kind of medal for the services that he had rendered for his country. He literally walks into the Oval Office, or he walks into the president's office. And when he goes in there, he has all these expectations. But the president says, how's your mom doing? And he says, I think she's doing fine. Why are you asking me about my mom? And a long story short, the president comes back around to the guy and he says, well, your mom has written me to let me know that she thinks you're dead. And you're clearly standing here in front of me, so clearly you haven't been communicating with your mom. And then he got a pen and a paper, and on his desk, he told that army surgeon, write your mother. All right? So if I can act like President Lincoln for you today, you go home and write your mother. All right? Let her know you appreciate her while you have the opportunity to do so, because the day will come when you no longer have that opportunity. The consternation in motherhood, you have to let them go. And in the process of letting go, it's a little frustrating sometimes when they just get farther and farther away. And that is a difficult thing for a mother to go through. And it's just, it takes an amazing mom to be able to go through that. Number 11, the care in motherhood. In John chapter number 19, there's only a few people at the foot of the cross. And Mary was among them. Mary was the only person who stood with Jesus from the day he was born to the day he died. She stood with Jesus to the day he ascended to heaven. Mary was there all the way. And I'll say this, as a mom, there was never a moment when she stopped caring for her children. Never a moment. And the type of mom that God chooses is a mom who never stops being mom, no matter how old her children grow to be. When your child is a baby, you hold them in your arms. When your child is a boy, you hold them in your lap. When your child is a teen, you hold him in your home. And when your child is a man, you hold him in your heart. You never stop caring. That's the type of mom God chooses. Here's the last one. Notice this, the continuation of motherhood. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, as Jesus has already ascended to heaven, there's one person found in an upper room gathered with all the other disciples of Jesus at the start of the new church, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them. She continued to faithfully serve the Lord until the day that the Lord took her home to be reunited with the one that she at one time had been able to call son. And we see that this mom continued to stay faithful to the Lord her whole life long. And the type of mom that God wants to use is someone who will simply stay faithful to God through the years. It made me think of Edith Chapel, whose birthday would have been today. And many of you remember Miss Edith. She was such a sweet lady, faithful even through pain and suffering to the very end of her days. She's an inspiration to us all. That's the type of mom God chooses to use. By the way, those moms that stay faithful to the Lord into their later years, they find themselves becoming moms not just to their own children, but to a whole lot of other people too. They're wonderful ladies, and that's the type of mom that God chooses to use. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So when Jesus chose his mother, he chose Mary. I wrote a poem for my mother that I'd like to read for you. If God gave me the chance to choose who'd be my mom, if I could scroll through time and survey everyone, then I have not a doubt just who would be my choice. Of all who've ever lived, just one would hear my voice. And with every passing year and every passing chime, the choice to me is clear. I choose my mom every time. And I say to you this morning again, God made the best choice for you when he gave you the mother that you had. No mom is perfect, but every mom is perfectly fit for the children that God gives to her. And so to the moms who are here this morning, I say, the type of mom God chooses to use is one who embodies the qualities that we just looked at from the life of Mary. Where in your life do you need some help? Do you need to grow? I hope as we go to a time of invitation that you would take a few moments before we leave this place to rededicate yourself to be the type of mom that God chooses. For those of you that have had that kind of mom, I challenge you to take a minute during this time of prayer to thank him for blessing you with the mom that you had. Yes, she wasn't perfect, but yes, God used her to make you into the person you are today, and you ought to be thankful for that. And the last thing I'd say is this. If you're sitting in here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no more important thing that you can do with your life than to come to know Christ as your Savior. And if your mom is looking down from heaven today, I dare say there's some of you that are looking down and hoping that today might be the day when you finally walk an aisle and you come trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.